Welcome to the Inside Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday lives. Every Thursday here on the Inside Out podcast, we take a look at the stories that are shaping our world, the funny, the feel-good, the frustrating, and the faith-enhancing. It's faith, culture, real life, all delivered with warm clarity and a bit of humor. This is Inside Out Thursday edition. Welcome. Today, we're going to talk about grace, cartel money, and hypnosis. Not exactly your average Thursday, but a whole lot of fun. We're going to start with our anchor point, which starts with the freshly fallen snow, what that actually taught me about grace. Isaiah 1:18 is just, I think, one of the most beautiful pictures in all of scripture, kind of about this. Then we're looking at IMG Academy. This is a elite sports school in Florida that just got fined nearly $2 million for taking tuition payments that were tied to a Mexican drug cartel. And so what does that have to do with our own lives? There are actually some lessons here that we can learn. And then we also have another story out of Florida, our main story. This was a principal who years ago hypnotized over 70 of his students. Three of them died, and we'll talk about that. And it's now all in a docuseries. So let's get into it. Glad you're here. Being from the Northeast, one of the things that I loved was when you would wake up and you look outside and everything is just covered in white because you got a fresh snow overnight. Suddenly everything looks different. It's quiet, it's clean, it's peaceful. And it just masks all the stuff underneath, all the mud and the dead grass and just that mess that you can't see anymore. And in our old house, I used to love to sit in our living room. I had my coffee in hand and I would just watch the snowfall out this big, huge, oversized window that was just beautiful to watch a snowfall. And as you're watching and you just see the ground getting covered and just being cleaner and whiter and more pure, it made me think of God's grace, because isn't that like the perfect picture of grace? It's covered and what's left is something that looks brand new. That is what Christ does for us. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God doesn't just cover our sins temporarily, like the snow that will eventually melt away and show everything underneath. His forgiveness is lasting and it's transforming. What was once stained and broken becomes something new and pure. But here's the thing. We can't make it snow on command. It's not going to happen. And we can't earn grace by our own efforts. It is a gift waiting for us to receive it. And what we can do is bring our mess before him, confess our failures, and let his forgiveness do what we never could. Grace doesn't just hide the mess, it changes us. So just take a moment today to think about an area in your life where you know you need God's grace. And maybe it's something lingering, a regret, or a situation that you just can't seem to fix. Don't carry that alone. Just confess it and let his grace fall like that fresh snow, covering us with that new beginning. Maybe you've heard of IMG Academy. This is a school in Bradenton, Florida. And it's a school, but it's basically a factory for future pro athletes, Division I commits, NFL players, tennis stars, soccer. They have everything. So a lot of people kind of go through there. And I think the tuition is something like $90,000 to $100,000 a year, which is insane. And it was recent that they sold the school to a private equity firm for like $1 billion. So there's a lot of money at the school. And they just got hit with a $1.72 million fine from the U.S. Treasury, not for recruiting violations or anything done on the field, but they accepted tuition payments from families tied to a Mexican drug cartel. Something like 89 payments over a number of years. And the federal officials involved said, this is kind of nuts. Like, this is a little reckless. You probably should have caught this. And who knows if they were doing background checks? Would this have been flagged? Whole deal. IMG didn't admit any wrongdoing. They paid the fine. They updated their compliance program and just ready to move on. So $1.2 million or whatever it was is not a whole lot in the grand scheme of things for this school. But here's what I wanted to get to and just talk about a little bit. Especially when you're worth over $1 billion for your school and you're charging $90,000 per student, saying that you're not checking on these things seems kind of out of place. And at some point, money does have kind of a, a funny way of making us less curious about where it's coming from. As long as it's coming in, that's what makes everyone happy. And I hear both things. There are a lot of athletes and families that say this is a fantastic school. The kids are thriving. The athletes are doing great. Top facilities, top coaching, the whole thing there. And other parents might be on the other side of this, feeling like their kids weren't really being taught some of the skills that they signed up for. It's more about branding and marketing over development, favoritism over merit, all that kind of stuff going on, which happens everywhere. You have to admit that does happen everywhere. Now, back to the drug cartel money. I don't think the school woke up and said, gee, I think we'll take money from the drug cartels today. I think what maybe did happen is, oh, here comes the money. The check cleared. So that's all that we care about. And then all the paperwork and all the checks that should technically happen probably didn't happen. And that is the thing that can happen when we are chasing success. Success is a terrible accountability partner. So when things are going well, you just kind of cruise, right? You're kind of happy. You stop double checking yourself. You stop asking whether what you are doing lines up with who you say you are, because the system seems to be working, and that working feels like confirmation. But maybe we are also not looking closely enough, like, and maybe we don't want to. So worldly success will tell you that the ends justify the means every single time. And if we are not anchored to something deeper than results, then what guardrails are in place to prevent us from making bad decisions, unethical decisions? I think about my own life, and yeah, I've been there too. Not on this scale, obviously, thank goodness. But where have I bent the rules because it was convenient? Or where did I not look too closely because I really didn't want to know the answer? So I'm just kind of like ignorance is bliss kind of approach. We all do it, and we start small. But 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Kind of meaning that the small compromises that we make along the way have a way of growing into something bigger that maybe at the time we didn't see coming, but oh, it will come if we're not careful. And I don't want to sit here acting like I'm above all of this, because without being anchored to Christ, we all drift. That's just the truth. Because the world is always going to put something in front of us, money, status, shortcuts that seem harmless in the moment. And with integrity, we don't find out if we have integrity until we can say no to a certain thing. And we know saying no is going to cost us something. That is the real test, if we're willing to take that chance. And for us, the standard isn't the bottom line, having a $1 billion school, getting kids off to the best Division I schools. It's Christ. It will always be Christ. And he doesn't move. So when the world is going to offer us all these better deals, we don't have to take it. We already have the best one. This story just got a whole new episode dedicated to it on Investigation Discovery. You might want to check this out. And when you hear it, you'll understand why it got people talking. It's called The Curious Case Of. This episode in particular is about a high school principal in Florida. Listen to this.
I reported him this summer of 2007. I called the director of high schools and told him, did you know George was hypnotizing kids on the stage during their lock-in? And he kind of was flabbergasted and said, what? After I turned it over to him, I expected, well, I did my due diligence, so it's up to the powers that be to deal with it now. Apparently, kept doing it in his office in private for 3 or 4 years after I reported it. Now, years later, the director of high schools calls me and says, hey, Mark, remember, I think you reported it the second or third year you were there. So the light bulb went on in my head. Did they ever deal with this guy after I reported it?
Dr. George Kenny, he hypnotized over 70 people, mostly his students. And the whole time, he's not a licensed hypnotherapist at all. He took a couple courses, did a program or something like that. Kind of bizarre how this all came about. Parents also, I mean, some parents signed off on this, and kids that were coming in were saying that it helped their grades improve, their athletic performance was better, they felt more confident. So a lot of people at the time were seeing this as an out-of-the-box approach and like a principal doing a really cool thing for people. But it was in the spring of 2011, three students who had been in private sessions with him, Marcus Freeman, Wesley McKinley, and Brittany Palumbo, they all died within weeks of each other. Okay. two by suicide. The third one was kind of questionable. It was in a car accident. He was with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend said he seemed really dazed and then just kind of drove off the road. So it's a little suspicious. Very bizarre. And these suicides happened shortly after he did a session with them. Now, I'm not saying that that's the cause. It's questionable. People are looking into it. What really happened? You know, was this just a coincidence? Dr. Kenny eventually pleaded no contest. He lost his teaching certificate permanently, so I don't think he can ever teach again. They had some settlements with the district and so forth, and now it's on a documentary. But here's what I want to talk about as believers and what I think matters, especially around hypnosis. And maybe you've done this before, I don't know, but it lowers your critical guard. It makes you more vulnerable, suggestible to certain situations. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, looking for an opening. And I don't know if it is wise to hand someone that opening voluntarily. And I think we can be led there in hypnosis. Romans 6:13 says to offer every part of yourself to God, not to sin, not to anything else, to Him. And that's where I think hypnosis gets complicated. For me, it does. And I do understand it. People use hypnosis for all kinds of things, smoking, anxiety, addiction. And like I said, maybe you've tried it. Back when I used to smoke, I might have tried it. I don't know. I didn't do it at the time. I relied on Jolly Ranchers to help me get off of cigarettes. But I do think it's worth asking whether we think this is different from, you know, like some people will say, this is just like seeing a therapist. But is it? I mean, I think it is different because a therapist, they're not exactly asking you to lower your critical guard and hand over control of your subconscious. I think that's a different level, a different thing going on there. And then there's the whole history of it. The so-called father of hypnotism is a guy named Mesmer. He was an 18th century Austrian physician. We literally get the word mesmerized from him. And a lot of his methods leaned, I would say, into what we would recognize as like borderline occult practice, magic, that kind of thing going on. And since then, like we do with everything, we rebrand it. We make it look more clinical and modernized. But that's really where it comes from. And maybe you see it differently, and maybe you've had a great experience with it. I just think it's worth talking about because we tend to do a lot of things without thinking things through all the way. Where did this come from? What does this say biblically? Is this the right thing to do? Some of his former students still defend him, said they had great experiences. Then there's a handful of others that say, no, this was not, and some other questionable things going on that were concerning. So it's hard to say what his intentions were at the time. So I just think in general, it's good to talk about these things, think about these things. Remember that our minds are a gift from Christ and they're not something that we just hand off. So I think we have to be very careful about who we're vulnerable with, especially therapists and doctors. And there's some great ones. Praise God for that. But the greatest healer of all is Christ. So all of our troubles, all of our worries and concerns, hopefully we take that to Him first. And it's also worth asking, what are we trying to fix? I mean, like, we've got to look at that too. Is the thing that we're trying to fix even a problem that needs outside intervention? Because a lot of these people went to see Him because they wanted to play football better or get a higher test score. So maybe that just needs practice and hard work and prayer and not a hypnotist to get a result that we want over what maybe God wants. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Not some of it, all of it. And so that is where I think we start. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for being here. Don't forget to leave a review or a comment. Join my Facebook group as well, Inside Out Community, where we talk about the things happening here on the show. And let's remember to see clearly, choose wisely, and live our lives inside out. I'll see you next week.